News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Welcome to the program. My special guest tonight for the next few segments is none other than Karen Dahlman. Now, many of you who listen to this program will have heard her speaking on a variety of subjects tied to the use of the Ouija board. She was a part of our Ouija board super panel that we did just a couple weeks ago. But for those of you who do not know who Karen Dahlman is, she is an author. She has been working with the Ouija board since 1973, communicating directly with spirit friends via the Ouija. And she joins us tonight. Karen, welcome to the program.
What a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me tonight. I look forward to being with you and your listening audience again.
It's always a pleasure having you on because as I sort of teased the segment just a few segments ago, you are one of the people who looks at the use of the Ouija board in, I believe, the most creative and the most sort of grounded in positivity kind of way. There are so many people that are afraid of Ouija boards, but you are... You are like the goodwill ambassador for the Ouija board, truly.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
So you've got a brand new book out, and I've been working through the book over the last several weeks here. It's called The Spirit of Alchemy: Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion, and the book it feels to me, Karen, like this is really sort of like your look at the blueprint of the universe and the blueprint of our lives and the sort of how things work spiritually for many people. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. This book is really an expansion of all the work I've ever done in the spiritual realms with spirit, with the guides, with deceased loved ones, and just reaching into those far-reaching areas where we can learn a lot about who we are, really, truly, who we are inside, and also what our essence is and where we come from. So, yeah, this is a culmination as well as an expansion into the depths of the paranormal and supernatural and metaphysical. It kind of hits all those levels.
Now, this book was written, from what I can gather and from what I know of your work, this book was truly written with the help of your spirit guides, these individuals, these energies that you communicate with using the Ouija board, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, I feel like a lot of it was divinely inspired by them. They would wake me up at 3-4 in the morning and have me write these incredible things down, and I was constantly doing that for, oh gosh, at least the last 6 months of the book writing. And I was doing it, this book took 2 years to write, by the way.
Wow.
I've been working on it for quite some time. But towards the end, they really jump-started me even more. Wake me up and I write these things down, prolific, and I was like, if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it in the morning. I know that from doing dream work. So I'd wake up and look at this and say, oh, my goodness, what is this? And then I would sit down and write for 6-8 hours each day, and it would just flow out of me. And so they were really, seriously, their name should have been on the top of the front of the book with mine. Although I do thank them, they're in my section of thanking them and it's in gratitude for them. But, yeah, we wrote this, I would have to say, together.
Wow.
Definitely.
And you've got such a strong connection spiritually to those guides. Now, have you been in contact with the same grouping of individuals since 1973, or has it changed over the years, Karen?
Great question, because it does change, it has changed, and it does change for everybody. I think you might experience that yourself. As we grow and evolve and change in our thoughts and the direction we're going in life, they also change along with us. Although, the several few that I speak about a lot in the Spirit of Alchemy book, they've been with me since 1992 and 1994. So we've been together for quite some time now, and we talk about how this work is going to continue on probably through the rest of this incarnation as Karen, as
wow.
myself. Because we have a lot more work to do.
We're speaking with Karen Dahlman, author of The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. One of the stories that really struck me is from the beginning of the book. It's the story of Golden, which is connected to a spirit, and I hope I pronounced this right, Daki?
That's it, exactly.
Yes.
Most
okay.
people say Daki.
Yeah.
Daki is exactly it. Thank you, Jeff.
So there's so much profound wisdom that it seems that comes from Daki. Is this one of your more connected spiritual elements, would you say?
You know, to be honest with you, he's the one that got me started on everything.
Wow.
And I do consider him a he. It was my imaginary playmate that wasn't so imaginary that I had since the age of two. That story is about me. And I'm not going to give away how the book goes and how Dackie evolves in my life, but when you get to the end, you'll totally see what happens. Dackie was my very first spiritual teacher. I knew that something existed beyond what I would call the physical realm. And he would come and speak to me and talk to me and play with me as a child. And when I was writing this book, I felt like he was also working with me. And I connected with my guides, and they said, yes, that's true. Dackie's way of working with you, because he's like an elf, a sprite. He's an elemental, like, fairy. Mm. And he works kind of from the side and not directly straight on. Although when I was little, I could see him. I still see him to this day in my mind's eye. But when I was little, he was in front of me. He kind of works around the side and gives me these creative inspiration or inspirational ideas. And he helped me channel that poem in the very beginning of the book. And I have to tell you, Jeff, that poem means so much to me. When I read it, I still get emotional reading it, because it's really the story of our work together. Yeah. And where he prophesied my life would be. It's quite crazy when I look back on that, to know that this, to the age of 2 to 5, I had a look into my future without even understanding that until I got a lot older.
You know, and at the end of, there's a little excerpt at the end where you talk about how it's time to go to school, it's time to grow up, it's time to let go of magical thinking and these imaginary friends in a way. And I think the reason why that sort of spoke to me so profoundly is because I found myself in that place. And I think a lot of people find themselves in that place. And if you're cognizant of it, it's sad that the world sort of wants you to not think magically and to not be open to that world as much.
It is very sad. I find it a tragedy. When we let go of that imaginal realm, I call it the realm of inspiration, of creativity, of excitement, of innocence, of childlike thinking. Doesn't mean childlike thinking is less than.
No.
It's more creative than. It really is the essence of who we are. And to recapture it, this book takes us back to that. And I wrote this book specifically with stories that you can tell, excerpts from my life, other people's lives, and then also a lot of history that I go into with alchemy and how the wisdom of the ages knew this stuff, that we have to reclaim our imaginal realm. And when we start to do that, we start to reawaken these abilities that are within us, that are our God-given gifts that came with us, which are the abilities to be intuitive, empathic, insightful, to inspire ourselves to our greatness. And so that's why it's so important for me to share that story. I never really shared about my imaginary playmate before, because it was imaginary, because it's just something that's not accepted. But I thought, I have to come fully out and explain this part of my life, because I know other people like yourself, other people who are sensitive, and even those who don't remember they're sensitive, have had some of these similar experiences. The book was written in a way to reawaken people, re-engage them back to who they really are, and back to this magical part of themselves, which magic does not mean fake or false. Mm. It just means that part of you that is alchemically, inspirationally inspired to be creative. Now, Jeff, I bet you had what they would call an imaginary playmate. Am I right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely did. Yep. It was an imaginary. It was a stuffed dog. I remember clearly seeing this stuffed dog move and talk and do things, but it was like a stuffed animal, and it would communicate to me, and I remember telling my parents this, and they thought I was crazy, of course.
Yeah.
as most people do, or they just chalk it up to, like, well, that's just, you know, childhood play. There's nothing really that's rooted in anything real. It's just play. But yeah, absolutely, I did, for sure.
And, you know, one of the things that when I was doing my research into and reading, you know, what psychologists say, and, you know, I see a psychotherapist and all that, and I know how important the imaginal realm is. And the fact that a lot of children who are encouraged to just keep that inspiration going, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's definitely right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not trying to judge it. What I'm trying to say is to keep the depth and the wealth of that imagination going and partaking with them. It's not like you're teaching them to be crazy and weird and strange. You're helping them become more creative in life, which I find that really helped me in many ways. Although I was also told, you're probably crazy.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? Quit talking to these. What are you doing? You're talking to yourself again. you know, nobody saw Dackey, which is fine, but what it allowed me to do was to really take me on my journey in life to go deeper within myself and deeper into what is beyond the apparatus that we've been given to sense and see and feel and touch and taste the world. And that is, to me, is about creativity and how to really pull that into your life and use it in ways to propel yourself, to push yourself into greater things and ways of being in the world.
Now, we're going to look more at that journey that you've been on, Karen, and more about the use of creativity and pushing ourselves in those ways and using alchemy, in essence. Just after the break, now we're talking with Karen Dahlman, the author of Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. My name is Jeff Richards. This is Paranormal, and you're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM. We have author, psychologist, and Ouijologist. Ouijologist? I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, or what the best way to say that is. Karen Dahlman here with us, and we're discussing her brand new book, The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. Now, Karen, every journey that we take, either inward or outward into the world, it all starts somewhere. There's always a rooted point that the journey clearly begins at for us. For you, from everything that I've read and from talking to you in the past, it feels like your journey truly began with a gift, and that gift is an oracle of sorts. Can you share the story a little bit with us?
Absolutely. Well, Dackey started out, of course, and it was when I was 8 years old and when I first came in contact with the Ouija board, not really knowing what it was. Mm. And that's when I call it, in this book, I call it my great oracle, because truly what it's become for me, as you've read my other books, other books, and you know how it's evolved for me, where it was about communicating with deceased people and going through all the, you know, learning about past lives and all these things, where it's become now this direct connection with spirit to really evolve and transform myself. And so people in many, many years ago, in the Greek and Roman days, and even before that in China and other countries and cultures, they have the oracle they would consult. And the oracle that I'm most referring to is probably in the Grecian world, where there were these women, these prophetesses, these priestesses, who would sit there, and many people would travel afar to come to them and hear what they had to tell them. And they would give these utterances, and somebody might transcribe them, and they'd be almost in hexameter or in a poem-like fashion. Mm. And it'd be something that has to do with, you know, what's going on in their life. And the oracles of Adelphi were some of the best, they say, the ones that they go back in history and say they were very, very accurate.
Yeah, she spoke directly to the god Apollo, is what a lot of people thought, and as you said, answered many questions for people and gave them answers. She was essentially like the first incarnation of a psychic, some might say.
That's absolutely right. And this is where the psychic stuff kind of people started coming from, that kind of culture, that kind of environment. Well, I consider my board, my spirit message board, my Ouija board, I consider it my great oracle, because that's what it's become for me. And so when I wrote this book, I spoke about it on those levels of, it's not just saying, yeah, you're going to win the lottery, yeah, you're going to do this for jobs. It's saying to me, in very axiom ways, it's saying things that make me really think, and it asks me questions, and it gives me almost like poetically, like that poem in my book that Dackey helped me write. It comes to me more like that. So it's my job to decode it and understand the message, and from there to grow from it. So it's become this evolution in speaking to spirit that's really pushed me to, you know, reach within myself and to understand these messages, which has really just become so profound for me.
Now, had you not been exposed to the Ouija as an oracle, do you think you would have found another way, or do you think another way would have found its way into your life?
I think so. I really do, Jeff, and I've thought about that quite a bit, actually. I believe that this was a tool for me, and it is my tool. I'm very, very good. It works very well for me. I'm very good at using it and helping others use it as well. But I do think it would have came out. It's like when there's a calling or there's a will, there's a way, and it's that the fact that, you know, there's always this trying to understand what Dackey, who Dackey was. And I had other experiences with beings, too, as you did as a child, and not having anybody around me to help me put that in perspective. And so I would have always searched that out. And in fact, that's really why I went into psychotherapy, is to really understand human nature and what would create such musings and what would create such interactions with this unseen world, as you might call it. So, yeah, I would say there was something else I probably would have found, but I got to say, I'm very thankful. I know some people are very afraid of the Ouija, and then they'll say, you know, what they need to say, and I get that. I totally respect that. It's just that this has been such an eye-opening, mind-opening, heart-opening tool for me that's just taken me into just incredible, expansive levels of growth and development.
I read a very harsh Facebook post from somebody just a few weeks ago, where they were talking about how people had to get their heads wrapped around the fact that the Ouija board wasn't actually spirit talking to them. It's all based in the ideal motor. It's all based in the unconscious muscle response, blah, et cetera, et cetera. And then they were really hard-lined against any sort of spiritual kind of nature tied to these boards, cracking it down to all being science and all being what we can see and feel and understand, as skeptics typically will do. What would you say to those people, Karen, those individuals who might say that it is based in, you know, something that is going on physiologically with the body versus a spiritual connection?
Well, this is what I'll say. I say, you know, I've been doing it now 42 years, and so I'll say it's been nothing but helpful for me in expansive ways. And it, in fact, it helped me write 3 books, and it's really taken me to another level in living my practical life, not just this ethereal, lofty ideals, but really, in this 3rd book gets into it, how to really practice the stuff within your life. So it's been nothing but a great influence to me. Now, having said that, I have a really hard time, Jeff, really separating my mind, which is not my brain, my consciousness, my awareness, which exceeds, is outside of my body, disconnecting that from source and spirit with whom I speak. I feel like all are connected. So if people are saying it's kind of my brain, I'd say absolutely not. But I'd say, is my brain working in unison with my mind? It's working in unison with my spirit guides? It's working in unison with source? I'd say absolutely yes. So I can't really separate myself from that energy. And people who use it on this level, you really can't separate yourself from that energy. So therefore, I'd say ED motor isn't absolutely incorrect. It's not absolutely correct. I'd say it's a little bit of both. Also, having said that, I do want to say what's most paramount in using this tool is the intentions you bring to it, your energy about yourself, your awareness, who you are internally, externally, around your environment. That's what you're going to get. It's just the law of physics or law of attraction, like attracts like, and physics talks about this as well. And so there's so many levels and layers to this. It's hard to really ask that directly and do the best I can.
Of course.
So many layers to this.
Yeah, it's really more complicated than just it's one or the other. And I agree with you. I think that, you know, our hearts and our minds and our souls, we're connected to spirit. So to say that, yeah, it is my body that is physically moving this planchette, yes, but the source of the movement, the information, is something that that is quite a bit more divine, and I do believe that. We're speaking with Karen Dahlman about her brand new book, The Spirit of Alchemy. We will be right back just after this break. My name is Jeff Richards. This is News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM. Karen Dahlman is somebody who has been communicating with spirits for so many years. She's written a book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. Her newest book, The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion, expands and sort of grows upon the teachings and the experiences and the wonderful stories that she's shared with her readers over the last several years, and she joins us tonight. Now, Karen, in your book, in The Sacred Reunion, we talk about this sort of this imaginal realm and its importance in our lives, its importance as far as, you know, where our creativity comes from, and sort of how that imaginal realm and our connection with it is lost. What can we do as individuals, as a society, as people moving forward? What can we do to sort of, you know, reopen the door for us to that imaginal realm? Do you have any advice?
I do. I've really been thinking about this a lot, working on this myself for quite a few years. It's one of the things that are very, very dear to my heart. And this has to do with the sacred reunion and why I use that word sacred reunion within the title of my book. Within us, I really think there is this disparity between the balance of energies. And the balance of energies I'm talking about are these energies that are more masculine, assertive, aggressive, balanced with more of the feminine, receptive, community, communal kind of energies. And within ourselves, we have all these energies. These are not gender-specific. They're just related to everybody. And so we can put them in that way. We can explain them as more, you know, masculine energies and feminine energies. And we can explain them as, in alchemy, they may say, combining the above with the below, which is a big axiom for all the alchemists, the hermetic scientists who studied alchemy. It's the idea that within ourselves, if we can find this balance of paradox, this balance of these energies, and that has to do with the imaginal realm, too, that we can actually affect our lives in very positive ways. The idea is that we really shouldn't go about life being just one way, meaning if somebody's just really passive, they're not going to get very far in life. If somebody's just overly aggressive, vice versa, they're not going to get very far in life. The idea is to take these energies and combine them within ourselves. Now, the imaginal realm is the energy or the energetic level within ourselves that we are usually afraid to go into. This is where our deepest, darkest skeletons in our closets are usually kept, our shadow part of ourselves, the part of ourselves we don't want to look at. And that's typically all the things that go bump in the night or the demons we have within. And I'm not talking literally demons. I'm talking the metaphorical demons of things that really bother us. This is natural. This is life. And that is in the darkness within ourselves. That is in the feminine energy. That is within the imaginal realm. And when we start going back into the space through dream work, through meditation, through contemplation, reflection, through all kinds of, altered states, another way, hypnosis, artwork, writing, journaling, all these things take us out of our cognitive way of being in the world, which is masculine, and back into our receptive way of receiving, which is more internal, and that's the part of us that's empathic, intuitive. We can bring those two back together within ourselves. We start becoming more intuitive and empathic in our own right, and the world starts to change as the people in the world start to bring these two things back together. I go into great detail in the books you probably have read about, you know, the fall from grace of all this and how our cultures have changed over time. I look at this really practically and literally what's happened in history and then what's happened within ourselves from more of a psychological, spiritual aspect and then how to bring those together. And there's all kinds of techniques like I just mentioned. And in this book, there's all kinds of ways to actually activate and integrate these techniques in your life in very, again, very practical ways. This is a very practical thing. But the backdrop I use along the way is this whole idea of what the alchemists were doing, you know, in the days gone by. We know them as more like Middle Ages, medieval times. They really go back thousands of years before that. But they were the ones who actually understood how to combine these elements within ourselves in a very positive way. They also knew how to combine constituents and elements in flasks and beakers to transform lead into gold. There's all kinds of stories about that. But in the process of doing that, that's more the metachemistry of alchemy, they learned about the philosophical, psychological aspects of alchemy that they can actually transform themselves. And so they've worked in secret in their laboratories, you know, with concoctions. They learned that they're really evolving their souls and spirits, and they began to understand that they can connect directly with the divine, which is source, and they didn't need any go-between or intermediaries. So, you know, that a lot of the ruling factions had a problem with that. And so they were threatened by death and torture and horrendous things like that. And so a lot of this stuff of the imaginal realm, the ability to access altered states of awareness, the ability to access our empathic abilities, our intuitive abilities, was really cut off, and we were told we shouldn't do that. And so I'm talking about the secrets of these teachings of alchemy and how to go back to reclaiming this reunion within yourself. In the book, as you see and you read, you'll see that I'm talking about how to connect with your spirit guides, how to connect with your higher self, how to connect with the divine within, how to connect with the divine without, and I'm talking about source. Yeah. And doing that, you start to reclaim these aspects of ourself that we've been afraid to look at and all those things that we think go bump in the night.
We're speaking with author Karen Dahlman. Now, Karen, I love that imagery of taking lead and changing lead into gold. And I have so many people that call into this show week after week that have lead in their lives. They have things in their lives that are lead. And what a lot of people are wondering at the root of questions that we ask is, how can I take that lead and make it into gold? What do I need to do? And And from what from everything that I've read, you know, throughout the book and throughout what we've been speaking about here tonight, what we're really talking about is taking the lead that you have and transforming it into gold in a way through this process.
And really looking at it, this is where I think we get messed up in our heads. We think we're broken and need to be fixed.
Yeah.
I'm saying life is not about being broken and being fixed. Life is about getting messy, rolling up your sleeves and digging in. And so I gave the analogy of these different worlds we must progress within, and they're within ourselves. And you begin to find as you go into the inner world within yourself, it's almost like those things you've been afraid to go into. And I really take you through ways to go into this very easily so it's not harsh and you're not thrown into it. Because life will push us into these places we're afraid to go. And that's when we have, like, you know, all the, I call it the descent, the D's of descent, death, divorce, disease, destruction, deceit. I talk about those things because that's what happens in life. Life is, what my spirit guides have always taught me is that every single thing in life is a progression. Although it feels like going two or three steps backwards at times, it's really always about going forward. And so when we start to go look at ourselves internally, we're going to find these things that we thought were demons and so scary, they really have a message for us. And then it's not broken. We don't need to fix them. We just need to integrate them, not extract them, not get rid of them. I'm so against that. Those pieces are important parts of our life that helped us and saved us in some ways and kept us safe. And as we begin to be able to look at these things, we can integrate it back into us. They are actually our strengths in disguise. And I talk a lot about that in the book for the reasons of, to people to understand, that you're a lot more powerful than you really think you are.
100%.
And by opening back to that, you could become empowered in your life again.
And that,
it doesn't mean life's going to get great. Things are still up and down. You know that, Jeff. Things are still up and down. It's just that now you can find your center a lot quicker and maybe not go through life with knee-jerk reactions.
And that's what I think a lot of people need to understand is their true internal power. And a lot of people just, they don't acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge it, and I think that this book brilliantly helps you to sort of look at that and to acknowledge that a little bit further. We will be speaking with Karen Dahlman just after the break. My name is Jeff Richards. This is Paranormal. You're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM. We are speaking with author Karen Dahlman about her book, The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion, which is available on Amazon.com. I definitely suggest that if you know, if you're looking for just that little bit of extra something that's going to be able to, you know, help you propel and maybe sort of overcome some of the things that you're dealing with and that you're working with, you know, Karen's got lots of great points in the book that can really, they're transformational points in a big way, and they're points that you know, can help you on the journey that you're on. And I know many of the people who listen to this program week after week truly are on journeys themselves. Karen's joining us for one last segment here. Now, Karen, I usually end my show weekly with just a little bit of a piece of empowerment or something that my audience can take away and sort of put in their toolkit and go off into the world for the next week without hearing me speak to them and sort of be powerful and get exactly what it is that they need and want out of every day. Now, here's the question I have for you, and I'm hoping that something really great comes out of this, Karen. In your book, The Spirit of Creativity, you talk in there about sort of looking for, A, your soul's passion and this need, the central need, to look at life creatively. And creativity sort of being this force of energy within our lives. A lot of our listeners, you know, they find themselves lost or wanting a direction. And I find that sometimes there are these creative solutions that they need to sort of come up with and embody that can lead them in that direction. How important is creativity day to day for us, Karen? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think creativity is not something that you do. It's something you are. Yeah. Creativity is who you are inherently, and we can begin to understand that. We can start making more clever, creative actions and decisions in our life. My first book I wrote is called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, and that one goes back to 2012, and I really get into those items of how to live a more creative life. And it's not about being an artist. It's really about accessing this wealth of information within yourself. So you were saying, what is it that people can do that just can help them right here and now?
Yeah.
I would say the most important thing that anybody can do and take away from this is seriously to have a journal, to write down your thoughts, your reflections, anything. And I don't mean like Dear Diary, today I had a hamburger and I stopped at Burger King. What I mean is, I had this dream last night. I can't quite figure it out. What is this image I keep seeing over and over again? And then think about it and write your thoughts, your reactions to it, your correlations to it. And then you begin to see, as you keep this journal, and I don't mean you have to write it every day, but I would say write those things that really catch you kind of off guard. Maybe you caught a glimpse out of something out of the corner of your eye. You're not sure. I see something weird. Maybe somebody gave you a weird phone call. Something synchronistic happened. And what you begin to find is there's this thread. And in this book, Spirit of Alchemy, they talk about the golden thread that is woven through your life, and it's really about synchronicity. And as we learn to access this creativity within ourselves, meaning being open to the musings within, being open to taking our definition of creativity and making it such larger and expansive than what we think creativity means, meaning that it's just who we are, and seeing how things connect in our lives. And as we look at those things and you go back and look at these things, you'll see some kind of theme developing, you see some kind of images developing, and from that you begin to hear the story that your life is telling you now. Wow. Our every single buddy's life right now has a story, and that story is the theme that you're living. And those themes change as we change. And if you don't like the theme you're living, you can kind of change it yourself with adding some things to it. But I would say the big takeaway here is keeping some type of journal. And this is something that's got to be secret. You might want to hide it out of place. And it's got to be something, maybe it's electronic, and keep it in a secret file, the password. It's something you know that's only between you, yourself, and spirit. And then you begin to open up to yourself. And that's when all this inspiration starts pouring out. We know that we have the sanctity, the safety in which to really be ourselves.
Wow. Karen, it's one of the central points of advice I always give my clients as well. Journaling is so powerful.
Excellent.
It's such a powerful thing, and we are completely on the same page there. Karen Dahlman, thank you so much tonight for sharing your wisdom with our audience. If people want to purchase your book, it's available on Amazon.com, but they can also find your website through creativevisionpublications.com as well, yes?
That's correct, and also easy is Karen A. Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com. They both point to the same place. It's my publishing house. And, yeah, Amazon.com, local bookstores, they can order it for you. We have Kindle, we have paperback, or you want autographed copy. I do deliver to Canada as well as the United States, so we do ship there.
Perfect.
And, yeah, it's available there, and I have all kinds of things. By the way, my website's being remade. It'll be launched here probably in the next month.
Oh, wow.
Kinds of fun stuff on it. And of course, I keep all the shows, Jeff, and so you and your radio show, I will have it uploaded as well so people can hear that.
Oh,
later
perfect.
On.
Good. Well, Karen, it's always a pleasure. You're one of our favorite guests here on Paranormal, and thank you once again so much for sharing your time with us here this evening.
Well, you were so kind, and thank you so much, Jeff. I really enjoy being here, and thank you, everybody who's listening. I really appreciate your audience.
Great. And congratulations on the new book, and all the best going forward into the future on your journey, as I know it does continue. Karen Dahlman, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jeff Richards. You have been an absolutely wonderful audience this evening. We've had so many questions, so many people texting things into the show and you know, wondering not only about your futures, but other facets of areas of the paranormal world. So if I had an opportunity to answer your questions or to speak with you tonight, I thank you for that time. But if I didn't, and unfortunately in 3 hours, it's tough to get to everybody. So I encourage you, if you were not able to get through to me tonight, if your text message question, if I was not able to answer it for you directly tonight, I encourage you, get in touch with me directly. I have hundreds and hundreds of private reading clients that I deal with every single year, and I've got dozens of openings every single week. And you can find me online if you want a private intuitive consult. My website is jeffrichards.ca. You can also contact me on Twitter at RealMindReader, or you can call me directly at 1-855-377-9477. As always, Saskatchewan and abroad, you've been absolutely incredible tonight. Special thanks once again to Karen Dahlman for joining us on the program. Next week, we have another phenomenal show lined up. I have a fairly major announcement that I'm going to be making next week, so I encourage you, tune in. There's a major project that's coming forward in my life that is going to be available to you very, very soon to help you strengthen your path and to further your world and to go forward into the world of the paranormal and certainly the world of the human intuitive skill set. Once again, thank you so much. This is News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM.
The power of intuition. This is Jeff Richards, Paranormal, on News Talk 980 CJME.